Are you ready to take your freelance business global? Great. Everybody wants that. So how do you expand your reach and connect with clients from all over the world? Whether you're looking to land your first international gig or refine your approach to working across borders, Shay and I both have international clients, and hopefully we can share some nuggets of information for you to apply to yourself if you are looking to go international. So welcome again, Shay. Nice to have you. And let's dive straight in. You've got international clients. I've got international clients. Where are yours based?
So in the US and the UK. I don't have any in Australia, which I know is another sort of pool of, I guess, native English speakers that that one could pursue. But for me, it's US and UK, and I have had some EU in the past. And you?
I've got UK, Europe. I've got a client in India as well. Nothing in the US and nothing in Australia either. Time zones, which we'll discuss at some stage, because obviously time zones come into it. But I think for me, the thing with time zones is I don't want to be working at like midnight to be available online for a client in the US or Australia. So that kind of discounted those particular destinations for me. But let's not digress. How did you find these clients?
So you're probably not going to like this, but Facebook and a bit of LinkedIn too. But actually, so my US clients was Facebook through groups that I participate in and have seen job ads on. So like freelancing groups on Facebook. The reason I say Megan's going to hate this is she is pretty anti the platform. So, but that is where I found them. Also through South Africans, we love to immigrate. So also through, previous clients, connections, and then also through companies that have satellite offices in South Africa. So have teams that work remotely from South Africa, and then I'm in touch with the team in South Africa, but we're working for the international company.
Mm-hmm. Have you used any of the kind of Fiverr, the other names escape me now, but these kind of freelancing websites? Because personally, I found them very much like a race to the bottom. It's kind of, first world country looking for cheap third world country labor to fulfill something they don't want to pay first world prices for. And it becomes a bidding war and that kind of thing. And I know people have had success on those platforms, but have you tried those platforms at all? Have you had any success on them?
So I've looked into them in the past a long time ago, and I saw what was required to create a profile and pitch for work. And straight away, I was like, I'm going to spend my whole time looking for work with no time to actually do work. And since then, I've chatted to a lot of people about them. Some people, I feel like you're either completely winning and you have one of the top rated profiles and you have lots of reviews, lots of stars, and you sort of become very sought after, or you're everyone else and it's a real struggle. And the only way you get clients is by lowering your prices below the kind of rate that you want to be earning. So I haven't used them. I've looked at them. I haven't really heard good things for the most part.
Yeah, me either. The amount of kind of profile setup and maintenance that's required, and then scrolling through the job boards and all that kind of thing, it takes a lot of time. And I think the way that I've accrued all of my international clients is through my network just here in South Africa. So to give you an example, I had a South African client that we did a couple of very small website projects for. We had a very good working relationship, and he forwarded a job opportunity to me on LinkedIn that I applied for and I got. And that was with a very large corporation. They went through some transitions, and a lot of their people ended up either immigrating or working for international clients. And I was kind of pulled into stuff from there. That's how my biggest international client that's based in the UK has become kind of part of the fabric, I suppose, of my my company. Mm-hmm. It was literally through networking. Platforms are great. Social networks, great. But I've found in my experience that normal networking, getting yourself in front of a human being, is the way to go.
Agree. It's definitely the path of least resistance because you're not having to prove yourself. You come with that trusted stamp of approval. So you're not even necessarily having to go through this huge pitch proposal process. People will take the referral and be like, sweet, sounds good. When can we start? So agree. And I think the benefit that we have as South Africans is we literally can find our compatriots and ex-colleagues and connections and friends all over the world. So, I think reaching out to people that you already know is always the easiest way.
Yeah. And then working on those relationships. I mean, if we look at COVID, I think that the rise, especially on freelancing platforms like Fiverr, they went through a large, elevation, is that the right word, during COVID. And COVID kind of opened up the borders. I was actually chatting to somebody last night about this, that, we can. It's broken down international borders. We can do business digitally. We don't even need to be in the same country or the same city as the person we're doing business with anymore. But like I was saying to the guy I was chatting with, nothing replaces face to face. So I'm off in a couple of weeks to the Netherlands to visit a client that I've been dealing with for the last kind of 18 months digitally. But seeing them face to face, and I know that a lot of freelancers probably choose freelancing because they don't want to have to deal with people face to face. I'm quite happy in my little hole, never seeing another human being. There is something to be said for human contact and that face to face. You're missing out a lot of opportunity to build deeper relationships that are not necessarily just kind of work-based or project-based. And at the end of the day, people do business with people. They trust a referral if you're willing to put the time into to build that relationship. So, try and see your clients or try and get to see them face-to-face in real life, at least once a year.
Totally. I mean, that's first prize, but it isn't always feasible. So, I'd also suggest then just be a human instead of, you don't want to be a freelance bot. So I'm thinking of my clients in the US who have a great relationship with, look, I'm not going to pay 50,000 Rand to fly there. And that's the flight alone. The reality is, sadly, we'll probably never meet face to face, but I still have built a great relationship with that client and would consider them one of my friend clients, because we speak about life, we're humans. We update each other on what's going on in our personal lives, which, some people might say, I don't know if that's appropriate. And maybe it's not. If it's just a once-off relationship, you're doing one project. But when you have a client that you're doing regular work for, just act like a human to them, and they'll probably do the same for you. And it's actually wonderful to be able to build relationships, even if it's not as entrenched as face-to-face, but it is possible to do digitally too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, not everybody has the financial resources. And I say see people face-to-face once a year. That's not possible if it's a large international client. I mean, if I'm flying down to Cape Town, I can do it several times a year from Johannesburg. But getting overseas, this trip is really kind of crippling me from a financial aspect. So, but I know that seeing as I've been working with them for the time that I've been working for them already, which is 16 or 18 months, this will entrench the relationship and show that I'm interested in actually integrating into their team, and so hopefully the return on investment will prove to be fruitful over the long term. But I completely agree with you. You can build very good relationships digitally, but let's maybe kind of take a step back and speak about marketing yourself to an international audience, because platforms, freelancing platforms, do a lot of that work for you, because they're a place that kind of connects the freelancer with the potential client. If you're not going that kind of platform route, how would you suggest people go about kind of tailoring their personal brand or their company brand, or their portfolio, et cetera, for the international markets?
So tailoring is key. So as you say, having portfolio pieces that showcase that you do work for international brands is important. Obviously, you still need to get the work to get the work, but that's a conversation for another day. what I've also done is I've included an FAQ section on my website, because people might click on and say, who's this random South African chick? South Africa, where is South Africa? Like, it doesn't get more descriptive than that. But nevertheless, so I've got an FAQ section that answers questions like, my rate, so that, we're aligned from the beginning. And also things like addressing the timeline issue, addressing, am I a first language English speaker? Can't remember what else. The benefits of working with someone international. For me, the way I sell it to US clients is, well, I can have the deadlines in your inbox before you've even woken up. So using time as an advantage. So I think being prepared to counter some of those objections that they might have about working with someone across borders.
Mm-hmm. I try, and we've spoken a little bit about the tech in a previous episode, but I try and offer more than just the writing service. So the benefit of working with me, for example, is what we were chatting about offline. I'm developing my own little social listening tool tailored to my client and the industries that they're in. I worked in strategy and marketing and sales, and I've had a lot of experience in those categories. So instead of coming in just as a writer or a marketer, I've got other things that I can contribute to the bottom line of the project. So I leverage that sort of transferable skills, I'm very solution oriented. So if you're having a problem, I'm happy to help you try and solve it. So that very kind of under promise, over deliver vibe. I think that does come across when I speak to people. I've gone a little bit off track here. So I, on my website, I've got my clients who I'm allowed to display logos, and some of them are international agencies, etc. So I don't have an FAQ section, which is a very good idea, and I think I must look into that. But I've actually got the client logos. And I think that when we met, I actually asked you this question and you gave me a very good answer. So no pressure to try and remember what you said to me. But obviously, as freelancers, a lot of our stuff is covered by NDA. So even if you get international clients, if you've got one international client, the work or the project or the client might be covered by NDA, and you can't use that to market yourself. So how would you go about trying to leverage that skill that it doesn't, or that project or that client, that it doesn't void that NDA, that it doesn't kind of get you into hot water?
I have absolutely no idea what my clever answer was. absolutely no idea.
Okay. Well, then on that note, I'll spill the tea on what I was doing, and I'm not doing it so much anymore, but I would speak on my channels like LinkedIn. I would speak about the stuff that I wrote about, but more in a general way. So I would showcase my expertise in those specific domains. LinkedIn, you do end up with a whole bunch of random international people following your profile. It's weird. It's a long-term strategy, but if you post, if you are writing on foot fungus, and you happen to know that it is a real big issue in Greece, and you want a Greek
all those
client,
sandals,
then kind of showcase what your expertise is in that field. Post about foot fungus and showcase your own kind of thought leadership on that topic. And that kind of helps you build your brand and helps people associate you with a specific topic. I found that that's helped me quite a lot get into the AI and engineering field. Relook at your social strategy and include something along those lines.
And also including testimonials from international clients that they might be happy to share. So then you've got the client name or even their name, if their name's redacted, a company name or an industry or whatever, so that at least people can also see that you are already working and have got experience with international clients and you're doing a good job for them.
Yeah. On that note, I think we've kind of covered the basics. So we'd love to hear from the audience. Have you got international clients? Are you looking for international clients? Has something worked for you that is worth sharing with the audience? Please do pop us a comment or a DM. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.